talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Where am I?
In the village.
What do you want?
We want information. Information. Information.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Millions of women like yourself suffer from a poor night's rest. Sleeping on your side without proper breast support can be a major culprit. Introducing Cush, the comfortable nighttime companion. Anatomically contoured to gently support and cushion the weight of a woman's breasts, Cush maintains a more natural shape while resting on your side. No straps, no underwires, no constraints, no adhesives, and no garments needed.
And now,
I can totally see that on all your shirts. That's the only good part about this.
Our feature presentation.
You can also smoke Cush as well.
Yes, you can.
So you got that going for you.
Yeah. I didn't know that was a thing.
I didn't either.
Wow.
That was a, that was an actual, real, as seen on TV product.
Huh.
In fact, I do not think it was successful.
No.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not the person to ask, Allie, but is that a problem for some ladies?
I've heard it is. No, I imagine sometimes they can get all floppy and stuff. I don't have that issue because not a lot to flop. But wouldn't being restricted just in that area, how would that be comfortable?
I would think it would not be. I would think that that contributed to it not being a success.
Well,
would
I
be
am
my guess.
Not buying it.
Okay.
Thank
right.
you.
Okay.
Back
Fair
to
enough.
You.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 2nd of May. What's up?
Earthquakes, right?
Come on.
Right?
Right.
Here's my question. Because the people in the office were talking, hey, did you feel the earthquake last night? Ooh, where were you? Ooh, what was it like? When there's an earthquake in Southern California and it's not at your house, mm-hmm. are you sad you missed it or glad you didn't have to deal with it?
I'm glad I didn't have to deal with it.
Okay.
But it was also a 3.0.
Yeah.
And I hate to be,
right?
you know, the person that's like, oh, we don't even get out of bed unless it's like a 5.5. But really, 3.0, why even mention it? So silly.
Yeah. It's like a windy day. It's like deal, right?
Yeah. We'll all be fine.
How about you, Kevin? Are you do you have the FOMO if there's an earthquake somewhere in town and you miss it?
I don't really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not really fun,
mm-hmm.
I don't think.
Mm-mm.
Although it is fun to watch the news and hear people describe it.
Yeah.
That's
I
good.
Love when they take those live calls
yeah.
from people.
Those are the best.
My Hummel figurine fell right off the shelf. No, it didn't. It didn't at all. Nothing happened in your home. But we're going to talk to you for 5 more minutes.
Right.
So was it a gentle rolling motion, or how would you describe it,
right.
sir?
Was it more of a jolt? How'd you ride it out? Everyone in the family's okay? Okay, great.
Well, apparently it was only a 3, so it was we didn't miss much.
No.
Apparently. If you weren't lucky enough to get it. So, I wouldn't even have known about it, I don't think, except for Andrew Siciliano mentioned it. On the social media.
Lucky enough to get it. Are you one
That's
who
what he said.
Are you one who wants that?
No, but I guarantee there are people who are bummed out. Like Dave, for instance, loves earthquakes.
Dave.
Yeah,
right?
But I mean that's one of many problems with Dave.
No, but I'm saying I don't think he's alone. I think there are people who would be bummed out that they miss it. Look, a lot of people tell me if I'm wrong. I think a lot of people enjoy the thrill of it as long as there's no damage, nobody gets hurt. It's kind of an unexpected surprise for the day. And I think some people like it. Some people would enjoy that.
I mean, as long as no one gets hurt, I'm fine
yeah.
with it.
Yeah, and there's no damage.
Sure.
Right. right.
Just life's a thrill ride, you guys.
Is it?
Yes.
That's how he lives his life.
Right?
One thrill ride at a time.
Do we have time for another thing or do we not?
Yeah, we have time.
Okay. I, I'm the healthiest man in the world and plan to live forever. Now, one of the reasons that I hope to live forever is because I am so fascinated with how technology is evolving and how fast new things are being invented and created. And especially in the fields of medicine, they're doing so much now that look like science fiction. And it's crazy how real things are getting.
Right.
Two things very quickly, and then we'll move on to today's very good all-new Kevin DeBean show. New robotic drill performs skull surgery 50 times faster than humans.
Oh, dear.
Now,
I'm not sure I need that much speed when you're working on my brain.
Rather the precision
aspect. Take your time.
No,
right? Take your time.
But you get a few hours instead of 8 seconds.
Right. You get in and you get out on your brain surgery, though.
I think with brain surgery, maybe that's bad.
Yeah.
They don't even need a doctor in there overseeing it, Ali. They just slide you through. It's like a drive-through.
Hard pass.
Researchers from the University of Utah have created an automated machine that can do a complicated cranial brain surgery 50 times faster than standard procedures.
Why?
The team's approach reduces the surgery time from 2 hours with a hand drill to 2.5 minutes.
Nope.
How about that?
Wow. No way.
Now, they're not doing the tough. This is getting into the skull and getting ready to do the actual part where they.
Yeah, you know, this sounds like the preliminary stuff.
Yes, exactly. But, I mean, how about that? How about going from 2 hours to 2.5 minutes?
I don't think that's progress.
Right?
I think
what if it's lined up just like a centimeter off and they're like, crap, not again.
Sorry about that.
Sorry, hey, Jimmy.
We're going to recalibrate.
You win some, you lose some, Allie. Come on. Not everything could be a hit. All right, so that's thing one. Here's thing two, and I don't know how you guys feel about this. I am worried. Remember the guy that we mocked as being crazy, the Italian neurosurgeon Sergio Canavero? Do you remember him from a couple of years ago? He's the guy who's out in front on human head transplants.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Scientists have transplanted the head of a rat onto the back of another. Ahead of a controversial plan to carry out the world's first human head transplant later this year. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what we need is a rat with two heads.
He has his own head and then just has an extra one?
Yes.
That's not a transplant. That's just an add-on.
Right, but the point of this was to show that they could cut a rat's head off and then keep it alive and transfer it to another animal and then have it work.
So he's blinking and, like, eating?
Yes.
Oh, God.
He's doing all of those things. Yes, he is now a two-headed rat.
Oh, no.
This is a thing that is happening.
Mm-mm.
They had three rats used for the operation, a smaller rat who acted as the donor, and he must have been like, hey, what the F?
I didn't do anything.
And then two larger rats. One larger rat acted as the recipient of the operation, whilst the other provided a continuous blood supply to the donor's rat brain tissue. And by the way, that's also a very raw deal for that rat.
Sure.
Who's just getting picked out of a cage and said, all right, you're going to be the blood donor here. I'm going to bleed you dry to keep this little rat head alive. The donor's head's blood vessels were later attached to the recipient's. And by the way, it worked, ladies and gentlemen.
See, that's a miracle.
It is a miracle.
I don't want any part of it, but that's a miracle.
Now,
why would we ever need a head transplant, though?
The thought is, I think you know what.
Because of my head? I'd like one.
The thought is, but your brain is in your head. I think you keep your head. I think you get a new body. And there are lots of reasons why you can think somebody would want a new body. They're a quadriplegic. They have muscular dystrophy. Whatever.
Dibs on that, Kate Upton.
I don't think it would work like that.
Okay. I don't think so.
Kevin would never leave the house.
So anyway, how's that for a 1-2 punch with robot surgery and a two-headed rat?
Wow.
This is what I'm telling you guys. Moving super, super fast here.
And too fast, some would say.
I don't want to miss any of it.
Yeah, I want to go.
Right now?
Very different. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBean Show, shall we?
That's what it's called.
Right. Bean makes his guess on the program today. What's up with Natalie's eyebrows?
Oh, dear. Seriously, though.
Right.
What's up?
Right. There's a new temporary concert venue in Irvine.
Oh.
We're going to talk about today with Kelly Fedrosky. Am I saying that right?
Sure.
Fedrosky? No, nope. I'm guessing that's not.
I mean, the third try.
Yeah. I mean, you hit a lot of the right letters.
Thank you. Public proposals. Why?
Seriously.
Well, what's up with that? And are they staged?
I think some might be.
As Conspiracy Alley believes?
Yeah. Like at sporting events, I think some are.
So we got that coming up. We've got your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta, and we've got Los Angeles Dodger Andrew Totes.
Did you say that right?
Andrew Tolles. It's his name. Los Angeles Dodger Andrew Tolles.
Try to get hold of it third time. Say the team's name again, too.
Los Angeles Dodgers Andrew Tolles.
There you go.
Yes? All that coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the show. Biz B next. KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Once again this morning on the show, two chances to win your tickets to the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2017 coming up on Saturday, May 20th at StubHub Center, including one next hour here on K-Rock. Between 6 and 7 a.m., you can get your Weenie Roast tickets, be all set to go. It's 5:52, as Kevin mentioned. Ralph is here. That means it's time for our first look at the showbiz beat on a Tuesday.
We've got to carpet bomb this Met Gala, right? We've got to send in a drone strike. How many problems would be solved if we just leveled that event?
I don't even know what it is.
It's the worst of
the worst.
They
all dress up.
It's the worst of the worst.
But what do they do when they go inside? Like, what's the event?
They all look at each other and go, oh, look at that. Is that couture? Yes. What is that? Is that original? Yes. Champagne? Yes, thank you.
Obviously.
That sounds awful.
Oh, these people. Look, fashion already is a racket and is awful.
Yeah.
Then you take this, which is the worst element of that, the most far-reaching, the extremist. It's extremist fascist terrorism is what the Met Gala is.
Is it?
Yes.
Wow.
We need to drop the mother of all bombs on them.
So you'll love it.
Jaden Smith, for example, showed up in his all-block ensemble carrying the dreadlocks he had just cut off his head a few weeks back. He called it the dreaded handbag of gold. And he carried it around like a purse.
Looked like Baby Groot.
Wow.
Wow. Pharrell Williams' wife showed up wearing the red thinking chair from Blue's Clues. Basically, it was like a tufted, upholstered dress. Madonna wore a dress made of green camouflage, military formal wear.
Wow.
Because, Kevin, that's why.
Okay.
Just.
You see that? You see how white people do?
Rihanna wore an exploding flower look with layers of fabric looking like petals pulling apart. See what I'm talking about?
It seems like Halloween for the fashion industry.
But Halloween, people have a sense of irony and fun about it.
Sure.
This is so deadly serious. And they're all looking at each other like, this matters.
Tube tops.
Right?
Get ready for tube tops.
Where are the tube
summer.
Tops is what we're saying. Just the worst of the worst. Dancing with the Stars update. You ready? Very exciting. Last night was double elimination night.
Oh, no.
Two people eliminated right on the dance floor. It's a very difficult move. It was also movie night, by the way. I don't know what that means. I think you had a dance, something was suggested or inspired by a movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The bottom three dancers, however, were Nancy Kerrigan, David Ross, and Nick Viall of The Bachelor fame. Two people had to go. There was nothing anybody could do. Nick.
Gone.
He's gone.
Uh-huh.
As is Nancy Kerrigan.
Uh-huh.
Why? Why? She said.
Oh.
Someone came on the floor and kneecapped her. Wouldn't that have been the best? When it was time for her to go, someone came out with a crowbar and hit her in the knee.
Why? Why?
Right?
It would be funny.
Hilarious.
Give me that.
Funny. Laugh, I thought I'd cry. And does Aaron Rodgers have a new celebrity girlfriend? Yes, Allie.
Really?
With your snicker.
What's his name?
How dare
wow.
you,
what?
Young wow. lady.
No. Who's the beard?
Aaron was spotted with Sports Illustrated model Kelly Rohrbach this week.
I mean, all right.
The two had already gotten very flirty with each other back at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am golf tournament back in February.
But wasn't he with Olivia then?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so could it have been this Hollywood hottie that gave the first one her walking papers?
That was the best Entertainment Tonight ever.
Thank you. Yeah. Apparently, he really hit it off with Kelly, and insiders claim that Aaron's other celebrity girlfriend, Olivia Munn. Some friends are claiming she was a bit high maintenance and a lot of drama.
Mm-mm.
I find that hard to believe.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll be following that story very closely.
Thank God.
And speaking of ladies' men, Bill Cosby has announced that he misses performing and hopes to go on tour when this court case is all over in Pennsylvania. That's his plan.
Come on.
Oh, he's going to pack them in.
Wow.
He will be filling every Starbucks, I think, that he plays at. Who's going to go see Bill Cosby?
I don't know.
His tour after 25 allegations came out was still sold out. People were still going in every city he played at. People were willing to just disregard that fact about Bill Cosby. That alleged fact.
Well, he was on television.
Right? Right. You got that.
They could still find him funny, even knowing what we think we know about him. And that is astonishing. Because I think that just colors the whole act,
not
right?
Not being a judge. Or a lawyer. How long does it have? Can it go until we can stop saying what we think we know about him or allegedly?
He's convicted.
Yeah, he has to be proven.
I mean, legally, until he's convicted.
But we don't have to be. We're not lawyers. We don't have to be legal.
Right, but
it's
libel if you say he's a rapist. If he hasn't been convicted as a rapist, he has to always be an alleged rapist until it's proven.
But off the air, of course, you can say anything you want.
Bean loves that little doorway. By the way, a little window. Right, Bean? Till it's proven, nothing matters.
Well, I'm just saying, that's our responsibility as broadcasters.
Yeah. Luckily for you.
Not get sued.
Ice cream, man. That's all I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays.
That's alleged.
Right? Kyle Busch, the race car driver. Nothing?
I mean,
come on. Kyle Busch.
Excellent.
He's 32 years old today. Lily Allen. I love Lily Allen. She's adorable. 32 years old today. Ellie Kemper, also adorable. Kimmy Schmidt. David Beckham is 42 years old. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You guys don't have the kids, so you're not watching Disney films, but you didn't see Moana? Moana?
No.
Boy,
heard it was great, though.
Boy, is he great in that film. He plays a demigod named Maui, and he is not only wildly entertaining and charming and funny, but can sing. Who knew that about The Rock?
Wow.
And he's not only the highest paid movie star in the world, but he also is other things.
What kind of comment is that?
Where are you going with that?
I felt like it wasn't going to end well just at the start. So what just happened?
What do you think you were going for?
I think what I was going for, and I couldn't put my finger on whether I remembered it correctly, is that I feel like he was also the most popular movie star in the world, too. He's the biggest box office in addition to the highest paid. I think that's what I was going for.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And I lost the thread of it somewhere.
Swing and a miss.
I just think you're terrific.
Because those two don't always line up.
They
the guy
don't,
who makes the most money isn't always the one who brings in the most money. But I think in The Rock's case, right now, he's got them both.
Okay, sweetie.
Is there some sort of...
Just lay down, B.
Some bacterial thing? Is it a flesh-eating virus? What's happening?
People are saying, is he sane? I have no idea.
Right?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I promised you K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2017 tickets this hour. How about 5 minutes from right now? We'll give you the cue and tell you to call in and tell you how you can win them coming up on K-Rock.
All right.
What's up with the eyebrows, Allie?
We've been dying to ask.
What's happening?
Finally, we can get some answers here. It's not like we haven't noticed.
Listen.
The eyebrows, what's up?
Sure. I see what you're asking. And
hey, Allie, good morning. What's up with your eyebrows?
It's a great jingle and a great question. So for months, I've been researching something called microblading because my eyebrows are very blonde. They're very sparse.
Right.
And quite frankly, if you don't add a little color to them, I look like a fetus just walking around my life. Like, hey, who's that fetus lady? It's me, Allie. So I've been researching something called microblading, which essentially a lot of people think it's like tattooing, but it's not. It's these little blades. It's a hand tool that somebody uses, and it actually adds pigment to your eyebrows, so you never have to fill in your eyebrows anymore.
Oh, to
lasts
your actual
about a
hair?
Year and a half. Yep, it adds little brush strokes to it, and it adds hair to where you might not have any. So a lot of women with alopecia, a lot of women that have had cancer that now can't grow their eyebrows back, this is an alternative for them as well, not just women like me who are blonde and look like a fetus. But here's the thing. When you get it done...
Right.
Go ahead, Kevin. You want to hit it.
Hey, Allie, good morning. You have janky eyebrows.
I really really are.
When you get it done.
When you get it done, there are different stages of it healing. I am right now in the, oh my God, what did I do to myself stage? Because they are so dark and they look so crazy that I will wear a hat for 2 weeks. And by wear a hat, I will pull that hat down to the point where it's just over my eyes.
Oh, you look like you're fixing to rob a 7-Eleven.
And you know what? I could, because the only thing they'd notice were my eyebrows. So they wouldn't even be able to describe me other than, holy crap, Groucho Marx just ripped us off. It's not good, you guys.
I just like to say, if you're not Allie, it doesn't look so bad. But she thinks it looks
you're
bad.
You're very kind. But when you go through life without really any eyebrows,
right,
and then all of a sudden you have eyebrows with an arch and you look like you're doing the people's eyebrow and you feel like the Rock, it's crazy. And this is apparently very normal, where it gets dark and then actually as the pigment is pushing out, it gets darker.
Kind of like then, same thing with skin tattoos, right? Right. Regular tattoos, they look darker when they first go on.
Right. So I've got a healing process to go through. I can't wait until the sloughing off process. That sounds sexy.
Right.
It's going to be a fun
Are month. There scabs falling off the front of your face right now?
Not yet, but I can't wait, because that'll mean it gets lighter. Because good Lord.
All right.
All right.
Hey, Allie, good morning. Freaky eyebrows.
Yes.
I have a few questions, if you don't mind, now that you've started to explain it.
Sure.
Is this a ladies only thing?
No, I've seen men get it too. Men that have sparse eyebrows, and a lot of men that have had cancer or alopecia as well.
How about that? Do most people do it with cancer and alopecia, or are most people doing it just for cosmetic reasons?
Are women like me who are vain and want eyebrows.
Just want to look better, right?
Yes.
And the procedure itself, is it tattoo-like in that it's very painful as they do it?
No. They numb your eyebrow, and then they start doing the brush strokes, and it literally feels like you're just plucking.
Uh-huh.
But you barely feel it. So I was like, wow, I must have a high tolerance for pain, because this is awesome. But then the woman said, yeah, wait till the numbing cream wears off, possibly on your drive home.
Oh, no.
So I was driving home and I was like, oh, crap, there it is. Those are my brows.
Was it killing you to be sitting there having her do that and not know what it's looking like?
Oh, not only that.
That just had to be torturous.
This woman, who I have to say, kudos you, at the end she said, all right, go ahead and grab the mirror. So I grabbed it and looked, but she had put ink all the way over it, so they looked like the biggest eyebrows. She goes, I decided to go a little thicker. I'm like, how dare you? And then she wipes that off, and you see the actual reveal, but it was hysterical, but my butthole clenched like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, it sounds terrifying.
Yeah.
So what's the schedule? How long will it take before it gets back to quote-unquote normal? And follow-up question, do you have to get this done again, or is this for real, for all time?
Most times you get two appointments. So you get the initial appointment, and then after, I think it's 6 weeks, you can go in for the touch-up. So if there are brush strokes that she missed, or if you want to add a little bit, you get that along with what you initially paid. But it lasts anywhere from 1 to 3 years. But since I have nothing,
right,
I think it's going to last for a while, because anything will look better than what I had.
Okay.
We posted your photo.
It looks
I think it looks good.
Thank you.
A lot of reaction from the listeners on the K-Rock social media. Uh-huh. And you are our favorite little chola now, according to our listeners.
Thank you. It's like if Eugene Levy and a chola had a baby.
Right.
That's essentially who I am.
That picture actually I photoshopped. She won't.
Oh, really? I thought that was her.
Yeah, no.
She looks good.
It is her, but then the eyebrows are photoshopped on.
But you now have to be, now you're a Raiders fan. You got to start hanging out with Sad Girl.
Right. I'm hanging out with Ceiling Fan and Sad Girl later today. Can't wait. Yeah.
So a lot of things are going to be different for you with these new eyebrows. It's an all new Allie McKay. Well, I think you did a nice job with it, Allie. Honestly.
Hey, Allie. Good morning. What's up with your brown eye? Brows.
What?
Okay. Wait, what? All right. That went south.
Why
right there.
Take such
oh, you
want to
hear it again?
A little bit.
Hey, Allie. Good morning. What's up with your brown eye? Brows.
That would be a whole different procedure.
The sold out K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2017 is happening 2 weeks from Saturday, you guys, at the StubHub Center. First year we have been there because they tore down the good place. But it's going to be a hell of a show. I mean, really. Andrew McMahon and the Wilderness is going to be there, and New Politics and the Revivalist, Judah and the Lion, Dream Car, Lana Del Rey, Paramore, 311, Cage the Elephant, Imagine Dragons, Incubus, and Lorde. I'm so excited about this show, and if you are too, we're going to give you a chance to win your own tickets at 1-800-520-1067. This game that we're about to play, Kevin, is or is not easy?
It is the opposite of easy.
Okay.
Whatever that is.
Call now. You can play next on K-Rock. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel made a lot of people cry on the TV last night.
Yes. Is there more to that story?
Yeah, we'll play some highlights of that coming up. Plus, we'll tell you about a brand new concert venue in Orange County that you're going to be very excited about. Something to take away the pain of losing the Irvine Amphitheater. Speaking of shows, how about this? Sold out K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2017 is coming fast. We've got your tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067. It's the hardest game in the world.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Kevin and B.
How have you been, sir? How's Mrs. Announcer Man?
Spectacular. She had the vaginal rejuvenation.
Oh.
Congratulations. I bet that's a lot of fun.
It has been.
All right.
Nothing like resurfaced flooring to make a house look new.
We do have callers on the line. They're eager to try to win their way into the K-Rock Weenie Roasty
Fiesta. Oh, good for them.
You want to describe for the listeners and those listening on their radios around the world how this game is played, sir?
We will identify one of the bands playing at the K-Rock Weenie Roast Yay Fiesta. All you need to do is identify that band.
That doesn't sound so hard.
Oh, I almost forgot. It'll be backwards.
Yeah! No!
It'll be backwards.
Hardest
All right.
game in the world.
So you're choosing from the list of acts that are playing on that show Saturday, May 20th. Who's our first contestant, Kevin?
Who's our first contestant, Mr. Announcer
Thank
Man?
Thank you, Kevin. First up is Christine. She's from Pico Rivera. She's a caregiver, yeah.
I don't think that means what you think it means, Mr. Announcer
give
Man.
Give me some care.
Hey, Christine.
Care about this. Right here.
I don't like the hand
need
motion.
Some care.
All right.
TLC.
Right.
All
right.
In my P-A-N-T-S.
All right, Christine, we're going to play this for you twice, okay?
Okay.
Twice backwards. Which band is this?
Novella Ear.
One more time.
Novella Ear.
Oh, my God. That's so hard.
It's the hardest game in the world.
I'm just going to take a wild guess. I know it's not right, but I'm just going to say Imagine Dream Car.
I'm sorry. That was 311.
311.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh my God.
Sorry. Thank you for calling.
Oh. Christine was right. It is a hard game, Mr.
It's the hardest game in the world. Next up is Kellyanne. She's from Somis. She works in a warehouse.
Hey, Kellyanne.
Good morning.
Good morning. Your band, Twice Backwards. You ready?
Yes.
Good luck.
Rock near.
One more time.
Rock near.
I have no idea.
Well, if you don't know, just take a guess. I mean, you're just choosing from the bands that are playing that day.
I don't know. Paramore.
Sorry, that was...
Dream Car.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry, Kellyanne.
Thank you. You're the nicest loser we've ever had. She thanked us for losing.
Yeah.
Next up is Adrian. He's from East Los Angeles. He delivers uniforms.
Hey, Adrian.
Hey, what's up?
The hardest game in the world is up. Are you ready?
I am...
Okay, here you go. Twice.
Sandra Lloyd won the NAM Kimber's neck.
One more time.
Sandra Lloyd won the NAM Kimber's neck.
Wow, it's a paragraph.
Andrew McMahon in the wilderness?
Andrew McMahon in the wilderness.
Nicely done.
That's how that's done. Well done. You're in the drawing, sir. Good job.
All right, let's go to Andy and Whittier. Hi,
Mr. Announcer Man.
No,
who's next?
That's fine. Go ahead. I got nothing. I'm over here. I'll just be sitting here. Hey, Omar, how you doing?
Good.
I'm glad. You want to get some coffee or something?
Yeah, let's go. Yeah. Okay, you guys are assholes.
Let's get some coffee. All right, let's go.
Mr. Announcer Man, come back. We're playing a game. Come on. We're having fun.
Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Oh, no.
Hey, Andy and Whittier.
Hey, Kevin. What's going on?
Bad things. All right, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here's your band, twice.
Snake out in this damn me.
One more time.
Snake Eyes Nish Damn Me.
Imagine Dragons. Nice.
Imagine Dragons.
Okay. Nicely now you're getting the hang of it. All right. Good job. Mr. Announcer Man.
Next up is Eric in Bellflower. He's in security.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. You ready for your band?
Yeah.
All right. Here you go. Twice.
And you're all.
One more time.
And you're all.
Lord?
Sure it is.
Lord.
Nicely done. Two in a row.
Next up is Inez. She's from Canyon Country. She edits things.
Is it Inez?
It is Inez.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Good luck. Here you go.
Sabine.
One more time.
Sabine.
Is it Lana Del Rey?
Incubus.
Sorry. Thank you.
This game is not easy, you guys.
Right?
It's the hardest game in the world.
Right.
Next up is Freddy. He's from Montebello. You want to check on his name, Kevin?
Hey, Freddy, is it Freddy?
Is it Freddy?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Okay, just make sure it's Freddy.
All right, are you ready?
Let's do it.
Here you go.
Homera.
One more time.
Homera.
Paramore.
Paramore.
Okay.
Nicely done.
All right. You got time for one more, Mr. Announcer Man?
Romello in Irvine. He is an IT worker.
Hey, Romello.
Is it Romello?
This is him.
All right. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Here you go.
Sniffle it's me.
One more time.
Sniffle it's me.
Cage the Elephant?
Cage the Elephant.
Nicely done. This is a great batch of contestants. I got to tell you, a lot of people in the drawing to win the tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta, including Adrian and Andy and Eric and Freddie and Romello. Who's our winner, please?
The winner is Andy.
Yay!
Andy!
Yay!
Congratulations, Andy!
Solid, man. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Are there two people there, or is it just in my head?
It's just me.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Announcer.
Way to wrap things up, though.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Bean makes us guests on the program today. Also, from the Los Angeles Dodgers, outfielder Andrew Tolles will be here in the studio. In case you've always wondered what it's like to be an actual real-life Dodger, that's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that in the 8 a.m. hour. Ralph is here now. Time for the showbiz.
I'm sorry. Just before we get to the showbiz, do you mind if we listen to a little moment with?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And now, a moment with Bean.
And he's not only the highest paid movie star in the world, but he also is other things.
That was a moment with Bean.
That was a pretty good question.
Agreed.
And the answer is yes, he is other things. Right. He contains multitudes.
Right.
Talking about The Rock. All right, Ralph, what's up?
Well, we've got tickets to give away to the special K-Rock Super Games and Brewfest Especial.
Yay!
Happening this Saturday at the Santa Anita Park. You got to be 21 years of age or older, but it's going to be quite the event. There's a bunch of games for drunken grown-ups to play, including jousting this time around. It's going to be jousting.
Oh, sweet.
And Dave said he's going to crush everyone at the jousting, and he's inviting everyone down to joust him this Saturday at Santa Anita Park infield. So if you've ever really wanted to take a shot at Dave, and who amongst us hasn't, really,
right?
Feel free to go down there and take on Dave. He said he will dominate everyone because he's the best at everything he does, he said, in the other room, which was charming.
He has Armenian comedian belief in himself.
Here's who's going to be there. It's going to be Dave, the King of Mexico. It's going to be Chip, Beer Mug, DJ Omar Khan, Nicole Alvarez, and Lightning will all be attending. And as I mentioned,
Kevin, are you still banned?
I mean, technically.
Okay.
Yes.
There's a ton of games. There's Dunk the Dummy is a game. If you ever wanted to sink Chip or Beer Mug. Well, your name's on the list. Giant Beer Pong, the Human Pretzel, Jumbo Chenga. It's got everything, including food trucks and craft brews. And, of course, Thoroughbred Racing. You can watch the ponies race. And also the Kentucky Derby. You can bet and watch that simulcast as well. So if you'd like to go down, it's only $5 to get in, $25 for the VIP experience. That's what I'm giving away right now. It's this Saturday, May 6th. I'm giving away a four-pack of VIP tickets. You and three friends get exclusive VIP access, private restrooms, a bar, a Santa Anita trucker's hat, some drink tickets. It's going to be a blast. Gates open at 11 a.m. If you'd like to go, give us a call right now. 1-800-520-1067. May 6th, Saturday, is the date. So caller number 6. right now at that phone number will win this four-pack of VIP tickets to the K-Rock Super Games and Brewfest Especial 2. Congratulations, writers. There will be no writer's strike.
Oh, great.
Union negotiator announced early this morning. Happy to report we have a deal. Email that went out to writers in the guild said, did we get everything we wanted? No. Did we get everything we deserve? Certainly not. But the writers will get what amounts to another $130 million over the life of the contract. So, no exact details yet, but it looks like things are looking up. The most important part is production will go on and we don't have a writer's strike. So that television as we know it will continue to live.
Sweet.
Right?
Beanie, all right?
Yeah, I think it's great news.
Scare for you.
It was.
Know how much you love your TV.
I sure do, especially with, you know, new SNLs primed, ready to air, and those would be gone, too.
Well said.
Nothing but reruns and late night. I don't like any of that.
Right. Okay. Hey, a little message to Chris Martin. Would you back off, man?
Uh-oh. Back off.
Crushing on my girl, Charlize Theron.
I mean, doesn't everybody crush on her?
Yeah, but he's got a little too pushy, a little too uppity for my taste.
Is that right?
Yes. Like him to just stand down a little bit. There was a charity event over the weekend for Charlize's a South African charity. And so up shows, oh, Mr. Coldplay. Oh, look at me. I have a guitar. Let me sing to Charlize Theron. Take him out.
Because she's with you?
Kneecap him. We got a thing. We have an understanding.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. So he got up on stage and he sang a little song about her name and how difficult it is to pronounce. Well, I guess it is if you don't love her. Like I do. Charlize Theron. That's how it's pronounced. Dumb British guy. How are the teeth over there?
Yes.
Burn, right?
I will not stand for this.
Here's Chris Martin singing to my beloved Charlize Theron.
Oh, Charlize, Charlize, I'm having pronunciation difficulties. And I think that's probably the purpose of this song. Is it Theron? Is it Theron? Or is it Theron?
Isn't he charming?
Yes.
He is, and he
no,
wins.
Completely. He doesn't.
He is, and he wins.
Lucky to have him.
Okay. Yeah.
He's the
Let's
best.
Look at his track record. Let's see what good choices he's made in his life. Oh, goop. Yeah. Why would any woman want a guy who's got goop all over him?
I mean, she went out with champagne.
How dare you?
Just saying.
Sean's pretty fun. Fun guy.
Yeah.
He was. Yeah. We had a good time.
I'll bet.
We did. Today's celebrity birthdays, Christine Baranski, 65 years old today. Actor Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he is 45 years old. David Beckham,
I'm 42 years old today. I've hurt my ankle blowing out my candles.
Ugh, flimsiest man in the world, right? Ellie Kemper is 37 years old today. Singer Lily Allen is 32. And race car driver Kyle Busch. 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. Walk the Showbiz Beat.
More tickets for you for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2017 coming up at 9 a.m. this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Andrew Tolles from the Los Angeles Dodgers in the 8 o'clock hour. That's all straight ahead. A lot of people didn't know when Jimmy Kimmel was in reruns last week that it was an unscheduled vacation, but he had a baby. He and his wife, Molly, had their second child together, and it turned out to be much more complicated than anyone could have expected. Can you imagine anything? And I know we have people who work here and also people who are listening who have experienced this and know this to be true. Anything more terrifying than having a little baby born with a health problem?
Yeah.
Terrifying, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And last night was Jimmy's return to his late night show on ABC, and he opened up about it in a beautiful, beautiful talk, talking about what he and his family have been through. And spoiler alert, there is a happy ending to the story, because I know you're going to want to cry when you hear Jimmy talking about this, and it is a very emotional subject, but it does all work out. We thought we'd share some of it with you.
A little over a week ago on Friday, April 21st, my wife, Molly, gave birth to a boy, a baby boy. His name is William John Kimmel. We call him Billy. It was an easy delivery. 6 pushes, he was out. And he appeared to be a normal, healthy baby. until about 3 hours after he was born. We were out of the delivery room. We moved to the recovery room. Our whole family was there. When a very attentive nurse at Cedars-Sinai Hospital, her name is Nanoush, was checking him out and heard a murmur in his heart, which is common with newborn babies, but she also noticed he was a bit purple, which is not common. And now all of a sudden it felt serious. And the room started to fill up. More doctors and nurses and equipment started coming in. And they determined he wasn't getting enough oxygen into his blood, which, as far as I understand or understood at the time, was most likely one of two things, either his heart or his lungs. And you hope it's the lungs because sometimes they have fluid in them after delivery, and it's potentially a minor thing. But they did an X-ray, and his lungs were fine, which meant his heart wasn't. So now more doctors and nurses and equipment come in, and it's a terrifying thing. You know, my wife is back in the recovery room. She has no idea what's going on. And I'm standing in the middle of a lot of very worried-looking people, kind of like right now, who are trying to figure out what the problem is. And it's Friday night, and so they call a pediatric cardiologist. They did an echocardiogram and found that Billy was born with a heart disease, something called tetralogy of Fallot with pulmonary atresia. And then they brought my wife in, and they wheeled her in, and Dr. Zahn told her what was going on and what our options were. And we decided to take him to Children's Hospital, where there's a world-renowned cardiac surgeon who is, by all accounts, a genius. His name is Dr. Vaughn Starnes. Dr. Starnes opened his chest and fixed one of the two defects in his heart. He went in there with a scalpel and did some kind of magic that I couldn't even begin to explain. He opened the valve, and the operation was a success. It was the longest 3 hours of my life. But it was a success. So they didn't do everything. He'll have to have another open-heart surgery in 3 to 6 months to close those holes, but they want to wait until he's bigger, and then he'll have a third, hopefully non-invasive procedure sometime maybe in his early teens to replace the valve he has now. So this poor kid, this is what he looked like on Monday.
He's in like a incubator, and he's got tubes down his throat.
So
it's
sad.
It's it was really sad.
But this is what he looked like yesterday. Poor kid. Not only did he get a bad heart, he got my face.
Jimmy went on to make a bigger point about. And by the way, Cedars-Sinai, who, you know, is one of our beneficiaries for April Foolishness every year because of the great work they do there in NICU, and also Children's Hospital, which Jimmy promoted last night, was with the other hospital and the other doctors that were involved in his son's surgery. It's unbelievable the work that they do. They're angels.
Yeah, and he went through and listed every single nurse and every single PA, every doctor. He went through by name, which I found so touching because my mom's a nurse. We all love nurses, and they don't get the due that they should. So
it reminds me, you're absolutely right, Allie, and it reminds me of when David Letterman came back from his heart surgery, remember? And he brought out the doctors and the nurses and everything that had kept him alive. I mean, these people literally save lives, and there are no more vulnerable lives in the world than newborns. And he made a bigger point about how, you know, he's in a lucky position where he could afford whatever was necessary for his son. Not everybody is so lucky.
If your parents didn't have medical insurance, you might not live long enough to even get denied because of a pre-existing condition. If your baby is going to die, and it doesn't have to, it shouldn't matter how much money you make. I think that's something that, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or something else, we all agree on that, right? I mean, we do. We need to make sure that the people who are supposed to represent us, the people who are meeting about this right now in Washington, understand that very clearly. Let's stop with the nonsense. This isn't football. There are no teams. We are the team. It's the United States. Don't let their partisan squabbles divide us on something every decent person wants. And I saw a lot of families there, and no parent should ever have to decide if they can afford to save their child's life. It just shouldn't happen. Not here. So anyway, thank you for listening. I promise I'm not going to cry for the rest of the show. Please say a prayer for or send positive thoughts to the families with children who are still in the hospital now because they need it. And thanks. We have a special show tonight.
What a libtard, right? I mean, come on.
I hate you so much.
Look, that was great TV and from the heart, and take those words to heart, and congratulations to Jimmy and Molly. And Jane, now she has a little brother, and the baby's adorable, little Billy. And by the way, Jimmy just came back last night to do that show. He's off the rest of the week on paternity leave. And in case you're curious, Will Arnett is going to be hosting the show tonight. Anthony Anderson, I think, is doing tomorrow night. Then Kristen Bell, and then David Spade. That's going to be the rest of the week. And then Jimmy will be back next week. So congratulations to everybody.
Irvine Meadows Amphitheater closed down, as many of you know. But there's a new venue in Irvine, and we'll tell you about that next.
By the way, looking ahead toward tomorrow's Kevin and Bean show, Dave Grohl's mom is going to be on with us.
Yay.
How about that? Kevin, you going to hit that?
Oh, God.
I know that's Kevin's tendency every time we have somebody's mom on, is to figure out a way to make that happen.
I mean, really, it was just mugs.
And that was well worth it, right?
Right, exactly.
First, though, and B makes his guest coming up in minutes here on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, this is very exciting news. Story broken by the Orange County Register. Our friend Kelly Fedrowski is on the line right now. She is going to tell us about a new concert venue down in Orange County. Now, look, we were all sad, and I'm still ticked off that they're building more condos where the Irvine Meadows used to stand. That was one of the great concert venues in history, right?
Yeah,
that
place. Yeah.
And they tore it down, mother effers. But we do have some good news for you, and Kelly is here to share it with the K-Rock listeners. Hey, Kelly, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good, it's going great. Thanks for coming on. I was very happy to see your article in the Register, but also very confused because I don't know that I've ever heard of a temporary amphitheater other than like a pop-up venue for a concert. But you're talking about something that's they're building, but it's only supposed to last for 3 years? I don't get it.
Yeah, it's a temporary solution to something they're really trying to work on with this three-year plan that they have to build a permanent amphitheater, similar in size to Irvine Meadows, actually within the Great Park. Right now, the temporary structure is just outside the Great Park. But from what it looks like it's going to be great. And a 12,000 capacity. So I'm really looking forward to seeing some of these shows. I mean, August 26th, first show with Young the Giant. I mean, can you get any better than that?
All right. And then I hope Oingo Boingo for Halloween, right? I mean, that's what we're all hoping for.
Why would you do that?
Going to happen.
That is so hurtful.
Yeah.
For folks who don't know that area super well, Kelly, where is the Great Park property?
So it's right off like the 5 freeway. You can see it by the big orange balloon. I mean, that's sort of like the landmark for the Great Park, is the big orange hot air balloon from the freeway. But basically, just a little bit north from where Irvine Meadows used to be. So not very far from where the old venue was.
So they're building a temporary venue at that spot and the permanent one at that spot as well?
Yes, the temporary one right now is located just outside the Great Park property. But the idea is to get it built within the amphitheater, to get built within the Great Park as part of their Great Park Cultural Terrace at some point, hopefully within this 3 years.
Now, is this unusual for a company to take this step to build a temporary venue, or ordinarily would they just not have a place to throw concerts until the new place is built?
I mean, Live Nation didn't want there to be any sort of gap in between Irvine Meadows closing and a new amphitheater opening. And there, as you know, there's a lot that goes into that, working with the city and all those things. And this was a very passionate thing for people here in Orange County. I mean, Irvine Meadows was around for 36 seasons. And, we had been writing about this story for 5 years, letting people know that this lease is going to be up and the Irvine company is going to do this. And it didn't really seem to sink in until last year when it was like, this is the final season, everybody. And, people were like, what can we do? What can we do? Which is why Live Nation and Five Point started the Save Live Music Irvine and gave people really a voice and let them go to the city of Irvine and say, we need something in between. We don't only need it. We want this too.
Right.
You mentioned a Young the Giant. Cold War Kids are going to be playing. Do we have any idea what other acts are going to be booked for this new place?
They haven't announced those yet. They just wanted to kind of come out and with a band like Young the Giant, who, they grew up and came out of Irvine, and they thought that Young the Giant was a great pick. Young the Giant also helped close down Irvine Meadows. They served as a opening act for Gwen Stefani on her final two nights there back in October.
And, you know, they're just, they're such great guys, and they're so excited, and their families are so excited that they're getting to open up this brand new venue in their hometown. And, you know, they're the perfect fit. Those guys have, you know, made it, and they're so into giving back to their community that I think that they're just a great fit to open this new venue.
I apologize if you've already answered this question, but when is it supposed to open, the temporary one?
It's opening on August 26th, Saturday, August 26th. And yeah, they, like I said, they haven't announced anything yet, but I have a feeling that more shows will be coming within the next week or two, and I'll be sure to let you guys know.
Please.
Okay. So Friday morning, 10 a.m., according to your article in the OEC Register, is when tickets go on sale for that show through LiveNation.com. That is super good news. And I was starting to take it personally that there was a K-Rock curse after they tore down the Universal Amphitheater, then known as the Gibson, and then they tore down Irvine. I was just wondering, does just nobody want us anymore? It's not us, I hope. Is it, Kelly?
I don't know. We like you guys down here. We've loved Weenie Roast down here. So yeah, I'm not sure if there's something to that or not.
Maybe, I can answer that. It's us.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right. Great work as always there in the Orange County Register. Kelly Ferdowski, thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show, and hopefully we'll see you at the Weenie Roast in a couple of weeks.
Yes, thanks guys. Take care. Thanks.
From your Los Angeles Dodgers, outfitter Andrew Tolles joins us in studio coming up just after 8 a.m. here on the Kevin and Bean Show on Q-Rock. That is gonna be a lot of fun. All right, you guys ready?
Absolutely.
Bean makes his guess.
Bean makes his guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean makes his guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean makes his guess.
Yes.
I once again would like to launch a protest about some of the sound bites that are used for that jingle.
That's one of my favorite jingles.
I don't get the relevance, how that has anything to do with Bean makes his guess.
Love it.
All right, Allie, you are in. Kevin, you are in. Ralph, you're here as well.
Yep.
Last time we talked about candy was Halloween. We were ranking Halloween candy. This is a little more specific than that.
Kevin
what?
Just got excited.
This is in your this is right up your alley here, Kevin. This is the best, according to Huffington Post, the best 25 is the list. We're just looking for the top 10 here for Bean makes his guess. Candy bars of all time. The best candy bars of all time. Now, the only caveat I will give you is these are all candy bars that are popular and sold in America. So if you've got some sort of, you know, European chocolate that you love, has no place on this list. These are candy bars that are sold in America. So I think, Kevin, I think you've got a real advantage this because you are Mr. Chocolate.
Right.
Let's see how we do with the top 10 best, not most popular, but best candy bars of all time. You get the first.
Now, these pick. Are only bars. They have to come in bar form.
Yes, they are candy bars. That is correct.
Right.
Snickers.
Boom!
Snickers is number 7 on the list.
Seven.
Well, that's the wrong button. There we go.
You know to wait for the response before you drop
it was
the boom.
Number one.
You know to hold up on the boom.
I boomed too early?
You made a pre-boomed. Premature booing.
Yeah. Snickers, though, obviously a great guess. It is on the list at number 7. Kevin is on the board. Ralph Garman, you are on the clock.
Milky Way.
Is only number 1, ladies and gentlemen.
And that's how you... Boom!
That is how you boom. Yes.
Milky Way is number 1.
Goddamn right. Stupid.
I don't have any problem with that,
dumb.
By the way. It's tough to beat a Milky Way. Got to be honest.
I'm with you.
Milky. All right. So 1-1. Allie McKay, you're up next.
Because the best candy wouldn't qualify because it's a cup, I'm going to go in the peanut butter family and say Butterfinger.
I'm going to give you a point as Butterfinger is at number 6 on the list. Well done. 3 for 3. Kevin, you're up.
Kit Kat.
Kit Kat is just outside the top 10 at number 11, but a great guess. Ralph Garman.
Three Musketeers.
Is number 3 on the list.
And boom!
Number 1 and number 3 for Ralph. Allie, you're up.
I am... not a real chocolate person, so I'm having some problems.
I don't think any of us are chocolate people.
That's racist.
Is
Kevin, very racist.
I don't even know if people like these, but I like the name. Whatchamacallit?
Oh, sweet Jesus.
No? I don't. I'm sorry to say no. The
just outside the top 10?
You've lived in the world, though, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure that you're still from this planet.
Yes.
You're not going right to the whatchamacallit.
Just outside the 20.
So no.
You're jumping over a few majors, I think, before you get to the whatchamacallit.
I will say, Allie, upon further reflection, number 14 on the list.
suck it.
What you recalling?
I don't think 14.
Not as bad a guess as I thought.
At a point, you might want to hold off on the suck it.
Okay.
All right, Kevin, you're up.
Hershey's bar. With or without nuts?
Thanks for the caveat.
I'm just trying to widen my guess.
Is there a bar that is just called the Hershey's
bar? Yes, sure. Yes.
It is number 22 on the list. Number 22.
People like more stuff in their chocolate than just chocolate, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. All right, Ralph, you're undefeated so far.
I'm going to go with the Mounds.
Ooh. Let's see. The Mounds is number 15.
Oh, wow.
Number 15, all right. So we still got a few in the top 10. We have a name. We're talking, if you're just joining us for B-Mix's guest, we're talking about the best 25 candy bars of all time in order, according to Huffington Post. I believe Ally McKay's up.
Payday.
Let me see. Payday is number 17. So you guys are hitting a lot of them. A lot of them on this.
What are the top 10 in 1957, Allie, though?
I can't think of them.
All right, Kevin, you want to go around two more times? How about that?
Nutty Buddy.
I'm sorry. The Nutty Buddy did
remember
not
the
make...
Nutty Buddy? Sure.
Incident?
Who could forget the Nutty Buddy?
Mr. Garvin?
Babe Ruth.
Baby Ruth is number 16 on the list. Hmm. Wow. All right, Allie.
What's the one from Beetlejuice?
I mean, you can't just say the name of a movie.
That one. Yeah, I'm out. I got nothing.
You got no guesses.
Almond Joy.
Almond Joy is number 12. I loved me some Almond Joy, by the way.
Of course you did.
Love me some Almond
Disgusting.
Joy. All right. Final go round, and then we'll reveal the top 10.
How are we missing these?
Yeah, right? How many are still left in the top 10, D?
That
we haven't gotten yet.
I think
six of them?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. That's a lot.
Right? Yeah. We're terrible. $100,000 bar.
Number 9, Kevin.
Wow.
Well done.
Wow.
The 100 grand bar is at number 9.
I was
a little bit surprised that came in as popular as it did.
That's a good bar right there.
It's a good bar.
Yeah.
I'm not denying it's a good bar.
Right.
I would say it's good, but I would say it's no Nestle Crunch.
Number 8, ladies and gentlemen. Sweet. Ralph comes up with the Nestle Crunch.
Ralph just took the lead there.
It's destroying.
I love the Nestle Crunch.
Allie, you're out of it, but just for fun, your final guess, please.
I say the laudanum bar.
That one.
I'm sorry. No, that didn't make it. All right. Here are some of the ones that we didn't have, by the way. Mr. Goodbar was at number 24, followed by the Charleston Chew.
Oh, bite me with the Charleston Chew.
Then the Hershey. Number 21 was the Mars Bar. Number 20, Fifth Avenue. Number 19, O. Henry. Number 18.
Who's eating O. Henry?
Apparently, it's still
80-year-old.
That's popular. All right, I'm going to confess that there are two on this list that I am unfamiliar with.
Okay,
one of them is at number 18, and it's the Take Five bar. Anyone?
Yeah, Take Five is kind of like a Kit Kat, only larger.
Okay, 17 is Payday, then Baby Ruth, then Mounds, then the Whatchamacallit. You guys hit all of those. Number 13 was the Crackle. Number 12, Almond Joy. Number 11, Kit Kat. Number 10, the Heath Bar.
Heath.
Number 9, 100 grand. Number 8, Nestle Crunch. Number 7, Snickers. Number 6, Butterfinger. Number 5, and I'm kind of surprised somebody didn't come up with Twix.
Twix.
No. The Twix bar is number 5.
Of course.
Number 4 is the other one that I've never heard of. Mm-hmm. At number 4, it's called the Sky Bar.
That's not a thing.
The Sky Bar is apparently.
I used to drink there back in the day.
The Sky Bar, according to the article from Huffington Post, is it's four candy bars in one. It looks like it's four different pieces of chocolate that all have something different inside of them. And I feel like that's not as widely available as it ought to be because that does sound awesome.
Never seen it, never heard of it.
The Sky Bar is
number
4.
That surprised me
Must
as well.
Must come out of Oompa Loompa's asses.
Number 3 was the Three Musketeers bar. Number 2 was Caramello.
Really?
The Caramello was number 2. And then
this is
number
a honked
1.
Up list.
Right?
Number 1 was the Milky Way. Here we go again. And this has been the top 25 candy bars of all time on B-Mix's Guess.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51. Hearing from a lot of listeners after that B-Mix's Guess about the best chocolate bars who are raving about the Sky Bar. And apparently we have been missing the boat on the Sky Bar, which has been produced since 1938, you guys.
I told you it was four candy bars in once. It has four sections, each with a different filling. One is caramel, one is vanilla, one is peanut, one is fudge, and they're all covered in milk chocolate.
I mean, I'm willing to try it.
How great does that sound?
Very brave.
Thank you.
I need me a Sky Bar. So anyway, thanks to all the listeners who weighed in. A lot of Twix fans out there, apparently. People very upset that Twix was not higher on the list. So a lot of people have a lot of feelings on chocolate.
Right, they're going to have to get over that.
7:52, Tuesday morning. Rob is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
So happy that Black China and Tiger are back together again. Very happy.
I haven't been following that closely.
Yep. Black China and Tiger, who previously enjoyed a very passionate romance, are now apparently having a retread romance. They are back together again. They were spotted going at it at a nightclub in Miami called Live last Sunday night. Onlookers and witnesses said they very much looked like a couple as they were all over each other. The best part of this whole story, though, is not really that they're happy. It's that this mess made Kyle Jenner and Rob Kardashian very unhappy.
Oh.
And that's the upside, really, for all of us.
That's the goal, right?
Yeah. Tyga enjoyed a long relationship with Kylie Jenner before they called it quits a few weeks back. And don't forget, China has a baby with Rob Kardashian, and now she has left him. So it's just the white trash brigade continues its march to oblivion as we watch the Kardashian Jenners self-destruct. Couldn't be happier. You want a piece of American history? Today's your lucky day. On the auction block, the Joe DiMaggio Marilyn Monroe marriage certificate is up for sale.
Huh.
They tied the knot back in 1954. At the time, they were the two most beloved, famous American icons in the world. Jolton Joe DiMaggio, America's favorite baseball player, and Marilyn Monroe, America's biggest movie star, married in a storybook romance that lasted 9 short months before they separated.
Well, they gave it a go.
They did. The Yankee Clipper, as he was known, had some severe jealousy issues. Well, then maybe you don't marry Marilyn Monroe, who is right? The object of American lust from sea to shining sea.
Yeah.
Then, Jolton Joe, maybe you just have a little mousy girl who just won't catch anybody's eye. The document is expected to sell for, what would you pay for the Marilyn Monroe Joe DiMaggio marriage certificate?
See, that's the thing. I'm not that person. I wouldn't pay a penny
for
it.
Be that person!
What do we think it would go for?
Yeah, what's it expected to sell for?
$30,000?
It's a reasonable guess. $75,000 is the estimated sale price. So we'll wait and see.
You think people do that for an investment because they might get their money back? Or
look, if...
Or is it just a collection?
Marilyn Monroe is a icon that shows no sign of anyone losing their fascination with her. And in terms of collectibles, they're not making any more of these. This is the one and only. So there's no way you can really lose out on an investment like that if you got the cash. You know who doesn't have the cash? He's kind of upset. Fabio.
Fabio?
Fabio.
Is still alive?
He is.
Okay.
And thieves stole $200,000 worth of his personal stuff, he claims, which is shocking. The point that he might have $200,000 worth of anything is stunning to me. But he blames California Governor Jerry Brown.
What?
Yes. He says it's Jerry Brown's fault because Proposition 57 let criminals out of jail because they're considered nonviolent offenders.
Oh, I see.
And he says that these prisoners are the ones who probably stole his stuff.
Probably. So he doesn't know that.
He doesn't know it.
Well, they might have been.
Right.
He is drawing a line directly between that proposition and the fact that he had some stuff stolen from him.
But those guys might have previously been in jail and then been released by the stupid governor.
Exactly, right? That makes excellent points.
I saw Fabio's name pop up online this weekend. Was he on Fox News being interviewed about this topic?
Yes.
And people care what Fabio says?
Of course they do.
Okay.
He says these prisoners may not be violent, but they're dangerous because they behave when they're behind bars. They put on a good show.
Right.
Then they get paroled, but then they make a great living stealing other people's things, and they will never get a real job because they make all their money stealing Fabio's things.
Could I ask a follow-up
Dear
question?
Dear white people, wow.
I wish you would.
He knows this for a fact?
Of course, Kevin. I think Fabio would go off half-cocked regarding matters of politics and crime?
It sounds like it.
He's a very, very sharp individual.
Obviously, he's a pretty smart cookie.
Right. He's Fabio. You don't get on the cover of romance novels, Kevin, by not being sharp.
I feel like maybe you do.
Not to tell you. You are a right? longtime romance cover model.
Thank you.
Remember? Remember the Thicky Chronicles? He was on the cover of every one of those. And there's no strike from the Writers Guild of America, I'm happy to announce. It was on Twitter early this morning. Happy to report we have a deal.
Yay! That's good news.
Tweeted Billy Ray of the Writers Guild of America. Writers had wanted to pay higher pay per episode and higher royalties for reruns. No words on exactly what the details of the new contract are, but apparently they're pretty happy with it. Although they told their rank and file they didn't get everything they wanted. The contract is apparently worth an additional $130 million over the life of the contract, so they'll be making some more, and hopefully their medical issues will... Their insurance issues will be dealt with as well.
Until this this negotiation came up and was made public, it never occurred to me how many shows now do reduced episode orders. You used to get paid because you worked on 22 shows in a year, and now a lot of them are down to 15 or 12 or 10 even. And that would make a huge difference on a writer.
It would, especially if you have an exclusive contract with a program.
Yeah,
you're not allowed
to
work elsewhere. That was their big concern. They don't mind lesser episodes as long as they can go off and work on other projects while they're not filming or in production on the one they're assigned to.
Yeah, to Adam Sandler, they're giving tens of millions of dollars.
Oh, look at him. He's got glasses on. He's got funny glasses on in this new film. I want to thank the folks who gave me a shout-out this week regarding Family Guy on Sunday. Yes, that was me as the head of the school board.
You're on Family Guy?
Yeah, every week. Every week, Kevin.
What?
And if you are a Family Guy fan... Do me a favor and yourself a favor. Go on to Facebook.com/Family Guy this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Adam West and I will be doing a live Facebook Live event at 4 o'clock on the Family Guy page. We're going to be doing trivia and we're going to be doing Q&A. We're also going to be talking about the Family Guy mobile game. Family Guy, another freaking mobile game, has dropped last week and it's a big hit. So Adam and I are going to be playing and talking about that. So you can check us out today, 4 p.m. on the Facebook Live page of Family Guy, Facebook.com/Family Guy.
Who's Adam West?
He's the mayor of Quahog, is who he is. God love him. I get to hang out with my buddy, Adam West, today. That's always a good day for me.
I was just thinking, it's weird that you were a nerd when you were a kid, and now the entire world has changed so that you're the king.
Yes. Nerds have taken their rightful place on the social order, I'll have you know, sir.
And it's even bigger than that for Ralph, because he not only was a nerd as a kid, but literally the person he admired the most.
My hero.
The person that 5-year-old, 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 12-year-old Ralph Garman would have wanted
25-year-old, 30-year-old?
Would have wanted to be friends with is Adam West, and he is.
He is my buddy now.
That's crazy.
That's how I roll. Today's celebrity birthday is Christine Baranski, 65 years old today. Dwayne Johnson is 45. David Beckham is 42. Ellie Kemper, 37 years old today. Robert Buckley turns 36. Lily Allen is 32, and race car driver Kyle Busch celebrates his 32nd birthday as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Programming, no. We've got some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that our guest scheduled for this hour, Andrew Toles of the Los Angeles Dodgers, is sick today. So he's had to reschedule. That's the good news, is that we are going to reschedule Mr. Toles. We are going to get him back on the Kevin Bean Show pretty soon, because I'm really excited about him, excited about how he's been performing early in this season, and really looking forward to having him in as a guest and finding out what it's like to be a big league ball player. So we'll let you know when we get Mr. Toles rescheduled.
Am I a bad guy if I'm... Let me finish. If I'm at a sporting event and somebody puts the camera on a couple and it's on the Jumbotron and then he's asking her to marry him, I always go, please say no, please say no, please say no. Just because I find it would be much more entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time they say yes.
Because proposals that go right are a dime a dozen.
I mean,
most people who propose to one another do it because they're ready to get married.
And they've talked about it ahead of time, and you pretty much know.
It's just a question of when, right? So almost, I mean, what do you think the percentage is of people who propose that say no? Do you think it's 1%? Is it 10%? What do you guys think it is?
I mean.
Yeah, 10 to 15 maybe.
Do you think so?
You think so?
Yeah. 1 in 10, wow.
You just don't hear about it.
Why would you hear about someone's sadness?
Right. And you hear about this because it's entertaining. In Kevin's example, you hear about this because it's in public. And that's what we want to talk about is public proposals. Allie, Fenway Park's been in the news too much lately with no good news. But this latest one that has made the rounds happened at Fenway, right?
Yeah, I don't even get it. It wasn't really a plan thing like we're going to show this. It was just randomly on the Jumbotron. And then she said no and the camera just kind of went off quickly.
Why did the camera go off quickly?
It's all weird. I don't
even
know.
That's when you zoom in.
But then people were chanting. Just say yes. Just say yes. And then
that's not the right answer.
No, I don't know. It's just it's gross. But there, I have friends that legitimately hate any ballpark proposals, NBA games, anything, any show of it being public. My friends are angry about it.
I can see that.
Yeah,
because it's annoying. It's sort of annoying.
It's very showy and very. It doesn't seem very authentic because you want to make this all about you doing it instead of it being about the two of you together.
But is it? By the way, I agree with you. I think I think it should be a private thing. I think it should be between the two people who are getting married, and it's nobody else's business. But having said that, isn't there some sort of a culture in this country now more than ever of the proposal has to be grand? Because we live in an era of Flashdance YouTube videos, right?
Like flash mob?
Flash mobs, yeah.
Okay.
So flash mobs.
You say flash dance.
Wow, no, flash mob. The water coming down. Yeah, it's very sexy.
But what I'm saying is it seems like there's a lot of pressure now, particularly on the guy. In the most cases, it's the guy that's proposing to do something spectacular and memorable so that his fiance has a story. And do you think that's where this is coming from? Is you can say, oh, yeah, we did it at Fenway on the big screen.
And she said no. That's the best part of this story.
Yeah, it is the first question you ask when somebody's engaged. Like, oh, how did it happen? What happened? How did he ask?
Right.
Which is sad. It is a lot of pressure on the guy. I feel bad for the guy for that.
But I think for the most part, I would guess 10% of people do it that publicly or less.
Yeah.
Don't you think most people just get engaged and it's their friends or family or just themselves alone?
Yeah.
But I don't know what the need is to do it so publicly. But I do root for no.
Well, you love love. That's really it.
Who do we know, Kevin? Was it Lightning who did a big fancy public proposal?
He wanted to do it at acoustic.
Mm.
And I sat him down for an hour and a half. And
don't
we had lunch. And I was just like, dude. Let that go.
Yeah.
You don't need to do it in front of everybody because it's sort of more a look at me than it is.
Every concert we do, we get emails from people that are like, I want to propose to my girlfriend on stage. Can you make this happen?
Right.
Okay, no one in the audience wants to see it. The band doesn't give an F about you. No.
I want to see it if she says no.
No, just stop it, everybody. Stop it.
You guys really do hate love today.
I love love, but I love authentic love. Let it just happen between the two of you.
Is it possible? And again, I agree with you. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. But is it possible that the Lightning, as the example of the you know the potential groom that we're talking about in that case, is so bursting with love for his lady that he can't wait to share it with the whole world? And that's what it's not. Hey, look at me so much. It's just celebrate with me how great this person is that I'm about to ask to marry me.
But people don't know that person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how did they celebrate with you?
Because you're showing how amazing this person is by making such a public stand.
Well,
maybe
I'm send a group text.
I'm trying to get my head around why somebody would make the decision to do this public. I in a million years would never do it. But I've tried to figure. Maybe our listeners can help us with that. Maybe we can hear from people why they think it is people do it, or even better, if you did a public proposal. Or you were part of a public proposal, you got asked to or asked someone to marry. Why was it public? Maybe that's what we need to find out.
Here's a tweet from the Fenway Park thing. Those at the ballpark report that the cameras cut away from the couple on the big video board when things started to go south.
Now, a lot of times, Allie, don't people arrange ahead of time with the sport?
Yeah, I found an article, and it stated which ballparks charge what for a Jumbotron announcement, something like that.
Oh, they charge?
So, yeah, there's different pay grades for that. But a lot of times you'll see it happen just right in front of you at a ball game. They're not on TV. He just wants to do it. It's their favorite team, that type of thing. But there's also, you know, pre-planned, oh, it's not going to work. proposals as well.
What does that mean, pre-planned? You mean
pre-planned that she's going to say no, so the camera's on him, and then the crowd's like, oh, no, and you see her run away. It happens at NBA games. It happens at...
So it's not
just,
real.
No, it's just
this
a viral
is conspiracy
moment.
Conspiracy alley now, right?
No, they set it up to do that.
Do those people even know each other, or they go through central casting alley?
A lot of them are actors. They do that as well for Kiss Cam.
I don't think
that's
true.
You see people on this Kiss Cam that she looks at him, he looks away, so then she's all of a sudden making out with the guy to her left. Those are fake, you guys. I hate to break it to you.
All of those?
Not all. The ones that go viral that you're like, holy crap, that's amazing. You're a sucker. Just saying.
All right, let's talk to John in Fontana. He's on line one. We're going to take your calls on this topic at 1-800-520-1067. Your thoughts on public proposals, particularly if you were involved in one. John, what say you?
Okay, so I can agree with all of you. I can, celebrate with me, everybody. I'm happy. That's cool, and I'm with that. At the same time, nobody needs to know how incredible you are, how much you paid to be on the jumbo thing. Just leave it at that. Keep it basic. At the same time, marriage proposals gone wrong are very funny to watch on YouTube. So there's that.
Right.
So, John, what about the point that we brought up that I think is contributing to these people who think they have to do it publicly, that you are leaving your fiancé with a weak story if you don't do something exceptional and special and, in many cases, public?
I guess case by case, if she's into that, you gotta feel things out. If you know she'd rather have a quiet evening at home, she's probably not wanting all of Dodger Stadium to know what's going on between you two. If she is that girl that, needs to have it all, then, case by case, play
then,
it by ear.
Then don't ask her to marry you.
Yeah, you're screwed, dude. If she needs that, you're in a world of hurt.
All right, John, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. I want to hear from some listeners who have been involved in public proposals. Were you happy that that's the way it went down, and what was the reaction? And, by the way, just to make Kevin happy, if we have a few people who call that they were turned down, no was the answer. We want to hear from you as well. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on K-Rock. If you're just joining us, we are talking about public proposals. Seems like most of us in the room are against them.
I mean, it just seems like a lot of look at me.
It doesn't seem to stop people from doing it, and we're taking calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you are part of a public proposal, we want to hear from you. We got a lot of callers on the line. Why don't we get through them and start with La Puente's Diamond. She's on line 5, up first here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Diamond.
Hey, guys. I actually called my husband and told him to listen in, so he's actually listening while I tell you guys.
Okay.
All right.
Long story short, when he proposed to me, he did it at Medieval Times, and he was so nervous. He was so nervous to propose to me, I guess, for what my answer would be, that he got drunk off his ass, and he proposed to the wrong girl.
What?
Did she say yes?
How does he propose to the wrong girl?
Because we were in like a really long row, and he was so drunk out of his mind that when the king announced, okay, we are here with Charlie and Diamond, they are here celebrating their engagement. I didn't even get to hear that part because everybody was like trying to get his attention because he turned to the wrong girl on his left and he proposed to her.
Diamond, are you positive that that was an accident?
You know what? If it would have been, she probably would have saved me a lot of grief if she would have.
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding, babe. I love you.
But how do you think, look, it sounds like a hilarious night. You guys have a great engagement story to tell for the rest of time. But in retrospect, would you advise people to propose at Medieval Times? Is that what most ladies want?
To be honest, I would have preferred the original way he wanted to do it. He wanted to do it at Disneyland during the fireworks, just me and him.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved the way that he did it because the way that I saw it, his whole family and a lot of people around us got to take part in our joy.
I'm sorry. Let me just say, you love the way he did it. And he proposed to the wrong girl. That's what you're saying.
Like you said, it's an amazing story.
It's a great story.
Everybody loves it.
Thank you, Diamond. That is a great story. We appreciate you listening and calling. Let's go to Lawrence in Roland Heights. He's on line 7. He saw a public proposal, and I don't think there are going to be enough hateful words that we can say about what happened.
Uh-oh. Hey, Lawrence.
So, basically, this guy, who will remain nameless, he decided to propose at a wedding.
Oh, F you.
At somebody else's wedding he proposed?
Yes, at someone else's wedding. He stopped the festivities. Well, he didn't stop the festivities. Everyone was already dancing and getting into their Mai Tais.
Right.
But then he stopped everything to propose to his girlfriend, who happened to be one of the bridesmaids.
No.
She, of course, said no.
Good.
The bride was really upset. And as a great aside, the groom was crying like a woman at his own wedding, so I got that.
Super uncool, right?
Yeah.
You don't propose. You don't do anything to call attention to yourself at somebody else's wedding or reception. Uncool.
That's pretty sweet.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Loved it.
Let's try Shauna in L.A. Line 3. I think there was a public proposal that her fiancé wanted to do. Is that right, Shauna?
No, not really. We had talked about getting engaged, and we sort of knew that where that was going, but I just told him under no circumstances was he allowed to propose to me in public.
Oh, really? So you laid down the law, said you didn't want that.
Oh, yeah, because I don't need everyone else to be a part of my engagement, and
right.
I felt like it was just something between him and I.
Mm-hmm.
So I just said, if you do it, I will say no. I'll marry you. I'll say yes later. But if you do it to me in public, you're getting a big fat no.
I think that's a good policy. Look, if you want to not be involved in a public proposal, let them know ahead of time. I like that.
I like that in public you're going to lie. I love that.
Oh, totally. Yes, I was like, I am so ready to just be like, nope, and then I would have looked like that embarrassing couple on the jumbo shot. So
all right.
Got lucky and did it not in public and...
Happily ever after. Great call, Shauna. Thank you. Let's go to Valencia Line 1. This is going to be Bruce. Now, we were talking, this original conversation started with a proposal that was a turndown, was a no, at Fenway last week. Bruce, you saw a proposal at Dodger Stadium.
I did. It was several years ago. The kiss cam, the guy bent down, put his knee down, looked at her, handed her the ring, and she freaked out and ran up the stairs and the camera stayed on him for a good 5, 10, 15 seconds, maybe.
See, that's what the camera should do. But, Allie, isn't this one that you're saying is just fake news?
It could be, sure.
No, it was absolutely not, because about an inning or two later, they showed him again. She put her hand up in the air with her ring on. She was crying, and she was ecstatic.
So they hired the actors for the whole game?
No. I can tell the difference between BS and... So real. I wasn't too far away from where it happened.
So she ran away and then she came back and said she changed her mind and yes?
No, she never said no. She freaked out and just ran up the stairs.
Oh, I see. All right, okay. She just was overcome with emotion, it sounds like.
She's
crazy.
She's more into the game and not realizing what was happening.
All right, thank you for the call, Bruce. Let's do one more. Is this, it's cut off here. Is this Brother Jim on Lane 4? Is that what I'm looking at in Venice? There,
Brother JD?
Brother JD, all right. You're on the air, sir.
All right, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, so anyhow, my whole theory on this proposal stuff is, you know your girlfriend, do a good job with it. Take the time, figure something out. So anyway, real quick, me and my lady... We rode the roller coaster right there at State Line at Buffalo Bills when it first opened up, Desperado. It was the world's tallest, fastest coaster back in the day we were dating. So anyway, I figured I'd ask her to marry me on that coaster going up that hill. So I called him up, and I told him, hey, how about on that steak and egg sign out front, you guys change it every once in a while. It must be pretty easy on the computer. So how about putting up there, Lexi, I love you. Will you marry me, right, as we're going up the coaster? So for whatever reason... 20-some years ago, I think it's 21 now, they said, yeah. So up that coaster I went, had the ring in my pocket. They put us up on the front. She didn't know what was going on. That's the other thing, too. Surprise effect is good, man. Don't let them know it's coming. So we're going up the coaster, and I had that ring in my pocket. And I was just worried for that thing to fly out. I didn't want it to fly off the coaster.
Right.
And as we're cruising up the coaster,
uh-huh.
She looks to the right.
Right.
There on the sign,
uh-huh.
Lexi, I love you. And bam, she turned around and said, yep, that's us. I said, look, life's got a lot of twists and turns, up and down.
USA! USA!
USA!
USA!
Right?
USA!
All right. That was a private proposal and perfect, right?
I love Brother JD. Let me
tell you what, that's legendary, my boy. Legendary.
As are you. Thank you for calling.
That would be a painful way to wake up right there.
Hey, ow.
Right?
Radiohead has been mysteriously
teasing something to do with the 20th anniversary of that album later this year. I don't know what it is they're going to do, if they're talking about a concert or a re-release or what, but something's going on with Radiohead around OK Computer. We just don't know what it is yet.
All right.
So keep our eyes peeled on that.
I don't know if you saw this story, but Donald Trump has been talking for a long time about cracking down on illegal immigration in general and on criminal undocumented immigrants especially. And what they have done is they've set up a new hotline on Wednesday for victims of crimes committed by aliens.
Okay.
So it's a hotline for tips. If somebody has committed a crime against you and they're an alien, then you call them and you give them that tip.
Well, this is consistent with what the president has been saying, which is you want to kick out people from the country who are the worst.
Right.
Right? People who commit especially violent crimes, you want them to make sure they can't be in America anymore. Understandable.
Now, a lot of people are calling just with alien sightings now, to be funny.
Oh, so you not mean, illegal immigrants, just right. actual aliens.
Extraterrestrials.
Yes.
Yes.
See, this is why we can't have nice things anymore, you guys. Because you ask the internet to help you name a boat, and it becomes Boaty McBoatface. Right. Okay, you tell the internet that there's an alien hotline, and they're going to figure out some way to prank the government.
Right, and that's bad. You're saying that's good.
Well, I don't know that it helps. But we wanted to find out more about this, so we do have the communications director for ICE, which is immigration enforcement here in this country. It's Matthew Robbins, who joins us on the phone right now. Mr. Robbins, how are you, sir?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
So this hotline, I think the president is well-intentioned, right?
Yes, this hotline is in place to assist victims of crimes committed by criminal aliens. Of course, we believe that all crime is terrible, but these victims are unique and often ignored because they are casualties of crimes that should never have taken place. These people should never have been in our country. And so we need to have a task force and a hotline to handle all these bad hombres, if you will.
Sure, right. So the public has responded, just not in the way you expected.
Well, they have responded, and the problem is it's not that the people are calling. I think they are victims also because there are many of these liberals out there who are spreading the idea that this hotline is for aliens from extraterrestrial nature.
Uh-huh. So they turned it into a joke.
They turned it into a joke, and then there's poor people out there who I truly believe think they've had some sort of encounter with an alien, and they believe this is actually a resource for them, and they're calling in and frankly clogging up the lines. We can't get to the actual important calls because all these voicemails are being left by people who I think have been fooled. They've been lied to by some people for political reasons, and they are confused, and they are calling up these lines.
You don't think they're just trying to be funny?
No, I do not, sir. I believe that these people are well-intentioned, although misguided perhaps and confused, but by the nature of the phone calls, you can tell that there's some genuine concern on their part.
I see.
Okay. What kind of calls are you getting, Mr. Robbins?
Well, I have some examples here, if you'd like to hear some of them.
Yeah, very much.
These are genuine Americans, so I believe in their defense, I actually think they've had encounters with extraterrestrials, but there's no place for that in our phone line because we're trying to get serious work done here.
Right.
So we don't need any more calls like this one.
How you doing? My name is Aaron McGillis. And I'm calling in here to the criminal alien hotline because I have found that there's an alien, one of them space aliens, who is ruining my marriage. I came home to the double wide to my wife, Darlene, and Darlene told me, that I saw somebody go out the back window, out of the bedroom, and Darlene said that a space alien had landed down and said that his planet needed women for making babies. And I don't think these aliens from space should come down here and be able to take our women.
So, as you can tell, that man's genuinely distressed. And,
you can't do anything for him.
No, he's reaching out for help, and the only help he really should get is a divorce lawyer, really. in that case. But these lines, as I mentioned, they're clogging up the actual space we need for real victims of crimes.
Right.
We don't need any more voicemails like this one.
I'm reporting space aliens having stealings of things. I'm a radio personality, and I have a card to get into the gate of my key of the station. And you need the key card for getting into the station. And every time I go to give it, the card is gone. It's I've now I'm thinking that aliens are stealing my cards. Every card that I have is gets stolen from aliens by aliens from me. So I would like to report the thievering of my key card. Never mind. It was in my other pocket.
Oh no!
Well, that guy seemed genuine.
The guy who generally has problems, and unfortunately, he's wasting his time calling the voice hotline.
Yeah,
I like this gentleman.
Hey! I have a complaint about these criminal aliens. I have a sign in my backyard. Here in my island home, and I'm welcoming aliens to come visit me, and they won't come. And I would just like to know how can I get these criminal aliens to visit me? And more importantly, I would like to know more about their anal probing.
Oh, no.
I'm so glad I don't have any pants on.
These people have a lot of problems.
You think? 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
Hard to believe it's almost here. 2 weeks from Saturday, you guys, the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2017. We'd love it if you could attend with us. And every morning this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we've got two chances for you to win tickets. We gave away the first pair already this morning. We got another one coming up in about 5 minutes from right now. If you want to join us for the Weenie Roast, do not go away. Five minutes from now.
Amazing Weenie Roast. Yay, Fiesta.
That is correct, Rodney. Thank you. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
I did want to mention again this afternoon, if you are a Family Guy fan, go to the Family Guy Facebook page, facebook.com/Family Guy, and join me and Adam West at 4 o'clock today. We're going to do a Facebook live event talking about Family Guy. We're going to do trivia questions. We're going to do a Q&A with Adam. We're going to talk about the show and also talk about Family Guy, another freaking mobile game, the new very fun phone game featuring all the Family Guy characters. So we'd love to have you come join us at 4 p.m.
I don't know who any of those people are.
And it's going to be me and Adam and the real-life Peter Griffin. You ever see the real-life Peter Griffin?
No.
The guy who looks exactly like Peter Griffin and talks exactly like him?
Yeah, he's amazing.
It's insane. It's like he was walked out of your television. It's disturbing how good this guy is. So we're going to have him there now. I'm going to see if I can get him to fight a giant chicken. That's my goal
Sweet.
For today. See if that'll happen. I'm so happy the Writers Guild of America have come to some sort of agreement with the producers.
Same. I hate it.
Why do you hate it?
You know.
No writer's strike.
Because that's what it was, you know. Well, president doesn't need a lot of reasons.
There's going to be higher wages for the writers and hopefully a better deal with their health care as well. No real details yet on the contract, but they did report this morning that they have a deal and it will be worth $130 million additional dollars for writers over the life of the contract. So they're going to get not everything they wanted, but they're getting a better deal. So happy for those guys. Not happy, however, for Nick Viall and Nancy Kerrigan, who sadly were eliminated in a secret double probation elimination last night on Dancing with the Stars.
They do those in secret?
Yes. There's no Mirrorball trophy for those kids. I really would have appreciated if they had kneecapped Nancy Kerrigan on the way out, but they have no sense of humor over there, apparently. I definitely would have sent out Gilhooly with some sort of jack or tire iron or something. Just take it out.
Hey, Ralph, more importantly, what reality show will Nick be on next?
How dare you?
Is he out of shows
now? He's looking for love.
Is he done now?
He has love, and now he's looking for dancing.
I mean, what if he has to get a real non-show business job now?
He and Vanessa apparently are still together, by the way.
What? Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Did she move to California?
I don't believe so.
Hmm.
I think they're long distancing it right now.
Okay. Well, it's easy to be together when you're long distancing it,
right?
I should know.
The highlight of Dancing with the Stars, by the way, was not the final results. It was some rehearsal footage of David Ross, Cubs catcher David Ross. Rehearsing the salsa with his partner.
Okay.
And I'll give you one guess who sent me this clip. It involves the partner being grabbed by the catcher, David Ross, flipped upside down so that her butt is right in his face.
Right.
And then she has an unfortunate
nope.
Internal Combustion.
Oh,
Mike
no.
Kaplowitz?
No. Oh, it's got to be Omar.
Thank you, Ellie.
Good Lord. She farts in his face, bro?
Yeah, she does.
She does the Chuck Berry?
That's right. Here's here's a little clip from last night's Dance Balls.
Carvel? I just freaking
That was right in my microphone.
Yeah, right in the microphone. Right in the old microphone.
How about that?
Cartwheel?
I'm not happy with the farting.
No, I'm sorry right? about that.
Wow.
She did it to the right guy, apparently.
Yes. Right. No one enjoyed it more than David Ross did.
Right?
How did she know? That was like his thing. Now they're engaged, so it all works out. It's like Chuck Berry in reverse.
Right?
Let me smell your fart. That's what David Ross said.
Yeah.
Omar sent that to me. He's like, you have to do that. You have to do the story. You have to use this.
It is pretty strong.
There you go. That's for you. Michael Moore is going to do a one-man show on Broadway.
Does he have to?
He doesn't have to, but he's going to.
Okay.
It's going to run for 12 weeks at the Belasco Theater beginning July 28th.
Okay.
The show is called The Terms of My Surrender. And Michael is calling the performance a comedy shiv aimed directly at President Donald Trump.
He's always been super funny.
Michael Moore? Yeah, not so much. He's not really a comedian. Oh,
right? He doesn't seem cut out for this work at all.
I don't know if I want to watch him talk.
No. I do
hours.
Know that I don't.
Pass. Hard pass.
By himself for 2 hours on stage, him just talking.
Yeah. Plus, it'll probably be yelling.
He doesn't yell, really. Oh, okay. He's kind of drones. He's more of a droner than a yeller.
All right.
But still.
But still, no.
I don't think.
But he does seem fair and even-handed.
Well, no. He's definitely not that.
That at all.
But that's not necessarily the demands of a good one-man show.
No. Right.
I like all my theater to be fair. The only theater of your effort.
No, but what I'm saying...
list of demands.
Is it fair and balanced, too?
What I'm saying
is...
if
a salesman have to die? I would like to see another show called The Life of a Salesman to make theater fair.
My point is, if he's going to be boring and not funny, and then he also is just going to be just screaming at people with his crazy political views. I'm just saying
there's not so much of the scream.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Aspect.
Look, we're all a no. Let's just leave it at that.
We're all a no.
And move
you.
On.
But if you're going to see a Michael Moore one-man show, I think you know what you're going there for, right?
Yes, well, you do know what
you're
going to
be caught by surprise, like Bean apparently right. if you wandered in. Wait a minute, this isn't fair. I'm going out to the lobby.
I object.
I'm going to get some fair candy at the concession stand.
Let me put it another way.
No, thanks.
All right, let me put it another way.
No, thank you.
There's a way to be critical of something and come from a place of truth and reason. Then there's another place where you're just crazy, emotional, and you're saying things that aren't true and that are just stupid and that just are beyond the pale. That's
wrong.
All I'm saying. Okay.
Right.
Wrong.
Wrong. Right.
People are saying, is he sane? I have no idea.
I don't know either. Today's celebrity birthdays. Lily Allen is 32 years old today. Love her.
Same.
Ellie Kemper. Love her, too.
Same.
Horrible.
We fell in love with her during The Office towards the end of that run of that show, and now she is on Kimmy Schmidt, which is very funny.
They're alive, damn it. It's a miracle. It's a theme song. Sorry. I love that show.
Look, Browse. Don't make me come over there. David Beckham is 42 years old today. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is 45. I wonder about Dwayne The Rock Johnson. What has he got going on? I know he's very well paid.
And now, a moment with Bean.
And he's not only the highest paid movie star in the world, but he also is other things.
That was a moment with Bean.
I mean, he's not wrong.
And it was a very fair assessment. You have to give him that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
Hey, it's Ralph Garman time. What's going on?
Real quickly, before I get to showbiz news, I do want to mention, in the light of what you guys were talking about and what Jimmy Kimmel was talking about on his show last night, I wanted to thank all the listeners who today have sent me emails and tweeted out to me and sent me messages. Because apparently what Jimmy was talking about reminded them of what my family went through 7 years ago when we had our twins. And so you people have always been very kind and very supportive and very It has meant a lot to me and my family that you guys have been, even after all these years, you'll still mention it and talk about the support give and the good thoughts that you have for us. And I just want the folks who did that for me today to let them know I really appreciate it. It was very kind of you all. Also, in show business news, I'd like to tell Chris Martin to get away from my girlfriend Charlize Theron. I do not appreciate this.
When you say your girlfriend.
Charlize and I have a very... it's a complex relationship, Kevin. I don't expect you to understand.
Does she know that?
Of course she does.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is it the kind of relationship, and I've got these two, where I'm married...
No, it's nothing like yours.
Where I'm married to someone else, and she, unrelated to that, dates whoever she wants? Is it that kind of relationship?
Please don't compare ever yourself and what I have with Charlize.
Okay, but so it's different from that, where you're married to someone else, and she dates whoever she wants.
Very complex.
I see.
I don't expect you to understand it.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
I just know that Chris Martin is stepping over a line...
I see.
...that I'm not sure I can abide. I think maybe we need to have a conversation.
Is it on?
It may not be on.
Okay.
It is, it's approaching on.
Uh-oh.
It's warming up. The tubes are getting hot in the on machine.
Like they do.
Like they do. You know, the tubes warm. You have to warm the tubes up before you throw the thing into the on
machine. You're still
using
a tube on machine? Oh, I got a transistor run on machine.
That's not nearly as good a job, really,
okay,
by the way.
All right.
The old school way is really the way to go. The reason I bring this up, because there was a charity event over the weekend, and he was there, and he performed, and Charlize was there because it's for her South African charity. And he had the unmitigated gall to sing directly to her a song he wrote for her. At her charity event.
Wow, he's got gall.
About not knowing how to pronounce her last name, which I think right there shows a chink in the armor. There's a flaw.
Well, he's clearly not right for her.
That's what I'm saying. Here's Chris Martin.
Oh, Charlize, I'm having pronunciation difficulties. And I think that's probably the purpose of this song. Is it Theron? Is it Theron? Or is it Theron?
Pretty funny, making fun of a lady's last name. Way to go, Prince Charming. You're really quite the fella. You rude, limey bastard.
The best artist, in my opinion, this side of the United States of America, possibly the world.
And it's Theron, for those of you who don't know. Theron like Heron, like the bird Heron. Chris Martin, if I ever see you, you best cross the street. Billy Ray of the Writers Guild of America announced on Twitter earlier this week.
Ralph, I'm sorry to interrupt. He likes to just be referred to as Cyrus now.
Not
no
the
more,
same dude.
This no more Billy Ray.
This is the guy's last name.
Changed his name.
His last name is Ray. His first name is Billy. He is a union negotiator for the Writers Guild of America. Announced on Twitter early this morning. Happy to report that there has been a deal struck between the Writers Guild and the producers, and that they have averted a dreaded strike, so we will not have to miss out on any television. No word on exact details regarding the contract yet, but the Guild, although it's disappointed they didn't get everything that they wanted, says that the deal is good for another $130 million over the life of the contract for its members. So that ain't too shabby.
All right.
Bill Shine, Fox News president, abruptly resigned yesterday. They're losing people left and right over there.
Yeah.
No word exactly on why he stepped down. There have been some allegations as to misconduct and that sort of thing.
Well, I think he was named in a bunch of the sexual harassment lawsuits as some sort of an enabler.
Yeah,
right?
Well, sure. He is a bit complicit.
But, you know, allegedly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Rupert Murdoch, who was the one who announced his departure, said, "Sadly, Bill Shine resigned today. I know Bill was respected and liked by everybody at Fox News. We will all miss him." Well, that's the people who resign, the ones who are loved and respected by everyone. That's usually why they leave. Then he might have been loved and respected too much. That may be why he had to leave. He was distracting with all the love and respect he was engendering in people.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
And this is great news. Jeremy Renner, one of my favorite actors, taking on one of my favorite stories. He is rumored to be starring as the legendary Western gunman Doc Holliday in a new movie. Now, you probably know Doc Holliday from the Wyatt Earp story, if you saw Tombstone or any other film adaptations of the gunfight at the OK Corral, but Doc also had an interesting life in his own right. And the Hollywood Reporter says producers have optioned two books about Doc, from his roots as a dentist in Atlanta all the way up to his famous gunfight alongside his best friend Wyatt Earp. Remember Val Kilmer in Tombstone? Boy, what a performance he gave. Dennis Quaid also played the role. Kirk Douglas has played the role. Adam West has played the role.
Wow.
In a TV pilot for a series that never quite took off. I can't imagine why people would want to tune in every week to see a guy with consumption coughing up a lung while he tries to shoot people. That sounds like good television.
It does sound fun.
I think Renner would do a good job with that. Looking forward to it. Let's take a look at, before I get to the celebrity birthdays, let me give away tickets to this. The King Arthur premiere.
Yay!
A pair of passes to the premiere of King Arthur, The Legend of the Sword. The premiere is happening at the TCL Chinese Theater on May 8th. We got five pairs of passes to give away, so you can see Charlie Hunnam and Jude Law and the rest of the stars at the premiere of King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. This movie looks awesome. Why don't you give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that phone number will win a pair of passes to attend the premiere of King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Guy Ritchie's take on that story would be great. Today's celebrity birthdays. Christine Baranski is 65 years old today. Dwayne The Rock Johnson turns 45. You know, the thing about Dwayne Johnson, I think he's the highest paid actor these days. What else has he got going on?
And now, a moment with Bean.
And he's not only the highest paid movie star in the world, but he also is other things.
Yes.
That was A Moment with Bean.
Celebrating his 45th birthday today, amongst other things.
Bean, fix your goddamn life.
Yeah, right? Fix your life. Ellie Kemper's 37. Equally adorable Lily Allen is 32. Race car driver Kyle Busch is 32 as well. And actor Robert Buckley turns 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, it's Wednesday. That means the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. We have Dave Grohl's mom, Virginia Grohl, in
Ginny.
Studio. She has written a book, and we're going to talk to her about that. And we've also got your tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta tomorrow.